as the auto industry tries to work out a restructuring model with the federal government, here's a name we're likely to hear a lot, Ron Blum. Blum is a former investment banker and corporate restructuring guru. Now he's joining the Treasury Department, and President Obama plans to name him as senior advisor on the auto business. He'll play a key role in the restructuring, but he won't be called a car czar.
So just who is Ron Blum? For answers, we're joined by Robin Farzad. He's a senior writer for Business Week. Robin, welcome back to the program.
Michelle, how are you?
Why was Ron Blum tapped for this key role? And if there ever was going to be a car czar, something the White House was thinking about at one point, would he have held that title?
He would have held the title, but you can imagine that it's way too politically radioactive at this point to appoint a Wall Street type, an investment banker, a velvet hammer type to go out there at a time when Wall Street is receiving tens of billions of dollars. And there's this idea that Detroit versus Wall Street, blue collar versus white collar, they would rather subsume him, I think, within the bureaucracy of Treasury and let this happen behind closed doors.
Now, within Treasury, his job title and his exact responsibilities are a little bit fuzzy at this point. What exactly will he be doing?
Well, senior advisor to the Treasury Secretary, Timothy Geithner. But let's not forget that Geithner has his hands full with the bailout of the financial system. So that is a full-time job unto itself. And you're kidding yourself if you think that any human Treasury Secretary could bifurcate his schedule between Detroit, you know, the vagaries of labor contracts and creditors versus shareholders and the UAW canceling certain agreements that were signed 30 years ago versus Wall Street's vagaries and the ongoing meltdown on Wall Street.
Could you quickly tick through his resume? Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yes, this is a business school graduate who spent 10 years at a boutique investment bank, learned his chops, kind of the ins and outs of credit restructuring, and really cut his teeth on the vast restructuring of America's once glorious steel industry. I mean, you have tens of companies that were pushed into bankruptcy one way or another. At a time of rampant globalization, you know, the likes of Bethlehem Steel, U.S. Steel, that whole glorious corridor outside of Pittsburgh that was forced, almost at government gunpoint and at creditor gunpoint to become far smaller and more nimble to compete with China and India and some of the foreign players. And that's largely viewed as a kind of a carrot and stick success story that has worked. Now that industry, despite this recession, is competitive on its own merits. So the thinking is, you can bring in somebody with his cred on both sides of the aisles, union and high finance, to work some sort of similar magic in Detroit.
So this is someone who has an MBA, we assume, is comfortable when he walks into a boardroom, but it sounds like he's a guy who can also walk into a union hall and command a certain degree of respect.
Right, because of his resume and because of, you know, frankly, if you look at his past and some of the comments that he made, he does seem to have a soft place in his heart for organized labor in this country. He has fought back against some poorly conceived management consultant plans to just do away with salaries and benefits. But on the other hand, he, in a 2006 speech, described his way of operating as dentist chair bargaining, namely the patient grabbing the dentist by, let's say, a certain delicate appendage to say, now let's not hurt each other. So you see that there's a good cop, bad cop approach to what he's doing.
I'm sorry. I had that image of the film The Marathon Man in my mind when you said that. So that could go either way. If one of these companies is in a position where the survival is really questionable, is he the person that would have to make that difficult decision to pull the plug?
He wouldn't, but he would put in really kind of stark, cold-eyed terms what the options are. For Chrysler, you know, this is just being purely hypothetical. You know, shutter three-fourths of your business, sell the rest to another maker or else. We certainly are seeing terrible numbers across the board. You're already really getting bloodied on the nose if you're Honda or Toyota, so imagine how bad it is on the other end of the spectrum with General Motors, Chrysler, and to a lesser extent, Ford.
Robin Farzad, thanks so much.
Michelle, thank you.
Robin Farzad is a senior writer for Business Week.